everyone, Jason Malone here. Welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and your generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. This is where Jesus stops the story. He stops the parable, and he starts to explain its meaning, which again, really unusual. Most of the time, tells a story like this, leaves everyone scratching their head, turns and walks away. This time, he explains the meaning of the parable, and when he does, I think, he gives us God's perspective on our stuff. Look back at verse 8. The children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light. This is absolutely incredible. Jesus is saying the people who live for this world only, the people who live and walk through their day-to-day life just looking out for number one, the people who walk in darkness, Jesus says they are more shrewd than the Christians. Now, he wouldn't have called them Christians back then. He calls them children of light, meaning the people who are supposed to see as God sees, the people who are supposed to have the light of God's perspective on all things, including money and stuff, the people who actually do believe that this world is not our home, the people who actually do proclaim they believe that there is life after this life, the people who don't know God are more shrewd. They act with more intention than people who do know God. What do you think about that? And then Jesus in verse 9, he begins to give, I think, the perspective that we often miss. Look at verse 9. Here's the lesson. Jesus, use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, and they will be gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. God's perspective, Jesus saying, use your stuff to make friends for yourself so that when it fails, when your stuff is gone, when you leave it all behind, when it's all given away, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Years ago, an author by the name of Randy Alcorn wrote a real little book. And if you want to get it and read it, you could do it in no time. And it was called The Treasure Principle. Give it a read. But this is the treasure principle for you. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. You can't take your stuff with you, but in God's economy, according to Jesus, you can send it ahead. And I believe that Jesus is saying through this parable, I think he's saying a couple things. Here's one thing I believe that Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that all of your stuff, all of my stuff, all of our stuff has the potential to be a kingdom resource. Do you believe that? Everything you own, not just your money, all of your stuff has the potential to be a kingdom resource. And he's telling us, I want you to use your stuff to make friends for yourself in this life so that when your stuff is gone, when you walk into heaven, this is an amazing thought. When you walk into heaven, there are gonna be people who will welcome you there because you invested your stuff in what God was doing to change their lives. Like, let that sink in for just a second. You will meet friends in heaven who are there because you and I, we invested in what God was doing in their lives and it changed their lives. Hear me, forget the campaign for a sec. This isn't just some jargon for Adams Mill expansion. Jesus's words, this is how children of light become shrewd in how they handle their finances. He's saying your stuff, when invested where God is working, can actually pay off with eternal dividends. How does that work? Well, one way it works is it was never your stuff to begin with. It's always been his stuff. So he can do whatever he wants to with it when we live with our hands open. And listen, I don't know how it's all gonna work in eternity. But clearly Jesus is telling us, when you invest your money and your stuff to advance God's kingdom, when you begin to see that everything you own has the potential to be a kingdom resource that God can use to lead people to Christ and to grow them up in the faith, when you invest your stuff in ways that God can use, the Bible says that stuff, which is here today and gone tomorrow, that stuff, that money, that everything you got, is transferred into some kind of eternal value system. And when people come to Christ because of how you use your stuff for kingdom purposes, somehow those people will know that you invested in them. That's what Jesus is saying. And there in heaven will welcome you. Thank you so much for your generosity of God's stuff. It paid eternal dividends. I'm here. Now, if you think this is just some bait and switch to get people to give something so we can go build a building, then you're totally missing the heart of what Jesus is saying. Because I don't think Jesus was a master manipulator. This thought this week has kind of wrecked me in a really good way. One day, so many of you who never had the opportunity to meet a guy by the name of Walt Hanford will walk into eternity and you will say, thank you. Do you get that? He was the pastor here faithfully for decades. There will be others that you'll know. People who invested their life, all of their stuff, into eternal things as the Spirit of God led them. And we get the chance to say thank you for that. This is my personal story. Some of you have heard that my grandma and my grandpa and my mom and my dad were part of planting a church in the 1970s in Spartanburg. That fast forward some 30 years later, that church actually closes and they repurpose it by giving the funds to Summit Church to plant multiple churches. Did my grandparents have any idea that living with their hands open in the 70s would lead to multiple churches being planted across the upstate? And I'm here to tell you, in those churches, people have come to trust Jesus Christ and they've been baptized and they've gone to the mission field. And I can't wait for some people who call Summit Church home to walk in and look at my Papa West and say, thank you. Maybe I can say it this way. Giving is not God's way of raising funds. It's God's way of helping us make eternal friends as he accomplishes his mission of redemption. That's the deal. It's not about seeing the church or the pastor being after your money. It's about seeing our stuff the way God sees it. And God sees your stuff, which is really his stuff, and we're just the managers of his stuff. And Jesus says, right here, he says, use your stuff in ways that will make an eternal difference in people's lives. So that's the question for us to consider. God, how can I use what you've given to me as a kingdom resource to help advance the mission of Jesus in this world? In what ways, when I die and leave it all behind? And two things are very true. I just need to fill you in on it real quick. Unless Jesus comes back while you're still living, I got two things for you. You will die. You will leave it all behind. You're not gonna be the one person to beat both of those things, right? I'm doing pretty great. I'm keeping it with me. Like super practical, that is the reason we're asking you to pray and ask God how you could support the work that he's doing here, that we wanna see expanded at Adams Mill. Because the story of so many of you in this room is that week after week, both inside the walls and outside the walls of this church, God's drawing people to himself through this ministry in an array of ways. And I'm here for it and I love everything about it. And I want us to multiply it. And the elders here want us to multiply it. And the staff team here wants to multiply it. Not because Fellowship Greenville is great, but because God is drawing a people to himself. It's quite the paradigm shift, isn't it? God's inviting us to invest our stuff in what he's doing here. And one day we will see that we actually never lost or gave up anything. We just sent it ahead. Here's the second thing. I'll be done. Look back at verses 10 through 13. Second way that God views our stuff. If you're faithful in little things, Jesus says, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, then who's gonna trust you with true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? No one can serve two masters. For you're gonna hate one and love the other. You're gonna be devoted to one, despise the other. And this is pretty popular, you've probably heard it before. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now that's packed with the perspective that I think we need to keep coming back to over and over again. And I do think at this moment, the disciples start to get it. Jesus presses it in a little further. Look at how Jesus talks about our money and our stuff. In verse 10, he calls money a little thing. Hey, real quick, do you think of money as a little thing? To Jesus, it's a little thing. Some of you are giving your life to the collection of a little thing to use on yourself. And Jesus says, in this life, at best, you'll have very little, no matter how much you have. Isn't that wild? In God's eyes, it's a very little thing compared to the much. This is what Jesus is getting at. To the much that God has in store for us in the future. He says in verse 11, look back at it. In this life, at best, you'll only have worldly wealth if you just spend most of it on yourself. In the end, you'll lose it all. Ultimately, whatever is left is going to be thrown away, divided up, given away. But he says worldly wealth can be converted into true riches of heaven. That's the language. I love it. And he says in verse 12 that what you have is actually other people's things. Meaning in this life at best, you never really own anything. Why? I've already said it a couple times. I'll say it one more time. Because it actually all belongs to him. It's his stuff. In other words, God's perspective on money, it's a very little thing compared to the much that lies ahead. And from God's perspective, your wealth is worldly if you simply spend it on yourself, but it could be converted into true riches if you're faithful with it. And the fact is, God owns it all anyway. That's it. And if we are faithful with his stuff in eternity, he will give you, how does he put it? Things of your own. Which honestly, I'm not sure what all that means. But here's what I'm sure it entails. You gain much more in eternity than you give up here. Now, I don't think that Jesus says any of this to make us feel guilty. Based on your background, I keep saying it, maybe you hear someone talk about this and you run it through a guilt, you know, filter. I really think he just desires for us to keep seeing our stuff that he's put in our hands as actually his, as children of light. Because that's what verse 13 boils down to, right? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God. You can't be enslaved to money. And I think Jesus is just saying this. All of your stuff is actually a constant evaluator. Right? I mean, you can say one thing about loving God and serving God and being generous, but how I actually steward it, everything he's put in my hand is the assessment to whether or not what he says is true. Isn't the word choice interesting here? Hang with me. I know I went a little long today. It seems like Jesus would say you can't serve God or the devil. Right? Because most of us, if he said that, we're like, that's right. Amen. Tell him, Jesus. It's more practical than that. Maybe what you would expect Jesus to say is, you can't serve God and serve yourself. More practical than that. The contrast is between God and stuff. The contrast is between God and a little thing from God's perspective called money. Because stuff and money has a way of binding us to the things of this life and blinding us to eternal realities. If I were to conclude the point of the parable and the perspective we need, I think I would say it this way. Jesus is saying to us, if you're like this man in the parable and you understand that you have a little bit of time and you have a little bit of opportunity to invest that little bit of stuff that I've put in your hands for my work, then one day when you stand before me, I will say to you, well done, faithful servant. You were trustworthy with a little, and now you will be entrusted with much. You were trustworthy with that which was not eternal, but you used it for eternity. You were trustworthy with that which wasn't yours, and now all that I have is yours. And on top of that, there will be friends in heaven to welcome you home because you invested in the saving work that God was doing in their lives. Don't you see? Have you thought about it? Those of you that love this place and you're thankful for it, not because we're awesome, because Jesus is awesome and we like talking about how awesome Jesus is, and you found community here and you found faith here and you found Jesus here. I truly believe that there, I mean, it's really messed with me in a really good way this week as I studied. When we walk into eternity, I don't know if it'll be on a t-shirt that just says Southside Baptist Church 1946 or what, but you're gonna have the opportunity to walk in with a group of people and go, thank you so much that decades and decades and decades and decades ago, you stepped out on faith and you lived with your hands open and a church started because of your generosity. Don't you see? The beauty of walking through these passages on generosity and stewardship is that we really do have practical application for all of us that call Fellowship Greenville home. And here's the deal. Some of you are newer with us and you're kind of checking us out, and so I get it, talking about Adams Mill. Some of you are guests. This is your first Sunday here and you might not ever come back. But here's the deal. Just kidding. Please come back. We have this opportunity before us. And the number one thing right now is this. We're asking for everybody to pray. That's it. Would you pray and ask God how he wants you and your family to be involved in the work that he set before us? And we're asking you to ask God what he would have you give over the next 3 years to multiply our community, to reach more of our community. For sure, practical application. No one's trying to switch anything around, rope-a-dope, pull one over on you. This is what we're doing right now as a church family. It's been done at other times in our history. If you're newer with us, historically, we've done something like this a handful of times. The last being back in 2015. Back then, the opportunity before us was to build Auditorium 2 because of the generosity of people. Maybe some of you, that's the reason you go there all the time. Anyway, we built our kids' space. We built our student ministry space. So you want real practical? I'll give you real practical. There were about 800 couples and individuals over the course of 3 years that gave, not pledged, gave $8 million. And now before us is this opportunity, and you know what I know, if you've been with us for any length of time, we have grown here and the Lord has blessed us, and it's not just numerical growth. We've actually grown with people who are excited about the mission that is before us to actually multiply ministry. And I truly believe, I do, I truly believe that God will provide. I believe that God has been providing through all of us who are here that call this church our home. I'll be real blunt. I actually do believe that already a part of this church family are the people who have God's stuff in their hands to allow us to accomplish what the Lord has called us to accomplish by going down the street and launching a work there at Adams Mill.
The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org. Follow us on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks so much for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week. We'll see you next time.